On Friday, we will remember Jesus' last meal with those he loved so well, the 12 who were his beloved. Today, we remember and consider the last public words Jesus spoke to the world. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. This is a statement of truth expressed throughout John's Gospel. Sylvia Sheridan was my art teacher when I was a child. She impressed upon me something akin to today's message when she said to me, "Always remember, it's dark against light. It is by these the contrast exists and by which the other is defined." The same is true of color theory, colors opposite on the wheel. The complementary colors when placed in a painting or in any art are what gives power to each other and why there are reasons we see these everywhere. The green and red of Christmas, the blue and orange or purple and yellow, and a variety of sports jerseys. This is one way to help us understand contrasts as we would see them in the material world. This idea of contrast is noted throughout John's Gospel, by which we have light versus dark, wisdom versus ignorance, vision versus blindness, belief versus unbelief, judgment versus salvation. What is the cost of unbelief? I am immediately connecting the dots of my unbelief, just as stated in Mark 9:24. I believe. Help my unbelief. I garden. You all know this. It is an important part of my prayer practice. I often plant seeds. I get and have faith in when I plant a bean seed, I will not get an oak tree. I believe in this, even though I might read what the package says, that my years of planting experience has taught me to recognize what different seeds might look like. And even though I do not see the wrestling and wrangling the seed undertakes in the darkness of the soil, before it reaches into the light where I can affirm, in fact, that it is transformed into a bean plant, the nourishment that was the seed then absorbed in the effort. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we read in Hebrews 11:1. The Johannine scholar Merrill Tenney wrote, "Belief in Christ involves also confidence in God. Faith is not intellectual and spiritual complacency, accepting the conventional, resting on fixed conclusions which have ceased to be vital. Facing light requires enlargement of understanding and new ventures and experience. It is the opposite of uncertainty, aimlessness, and negation. Unbelief is not a polite unwillingness to assent to some fact, but is a flat refusal to listen to the truth of Jesus and understand and acknowledge his claims on our personal lives." We know that John always challenges us to go beyond the status quo, beyond any convention that we may be predisposed to have. Today's reading is no exception. Coming to a life with Christ as an intellectual activity is a direct affront to the Greek concept of wisdom of John's time. And even in this, there is layer upon layer, metaphor upon metaphor to understand and dig through. We typically know that to say there is light means to understand. Jesus, and we read in John, being the light of the world, is beyond the concept of understanding as it would have been known to the Greek world. You just can't get there from here, if we want to use New Jersey phraseology. The light of life with Jesus is beyond earthly understanding and is always more than it seems. These last words of Jesus were cried out. This means emphasis and meant to reach the ears of those who were not necessarily seeing him. They also emphasize all the themes of his previous teaching. One, they were a concluding, paraphrasing of all his other teachings. Two, they were a challenge to decide on how to live. And three, They served as a warning to those who decided against following and becoming a beloved. Does faith necessarily need to be understood? Any more than love must be understood in order that I feel it in my heart? Do I have to understand in order that my faith, like a seed, can grow? Decidedly not. Intellectual faith is the climax of unbelief, a soul at war of itself. Jesus' command to us in today's reading, as in his entire ministry, especially as seen throughout John's gospel, you can see that faith lies at the heart of John's discipleship in John. Many of the characters in the gospel find it impossible to believe that Jesus really is one with God. But John insists that without believing in God's Son, we cannot enter into any relationship with God. The person who does believe has a special relationship of love with God. That person is one of God's beloved. That relationship is expressed in the life of love and service which those who follow Jesus are commanded to lead. It is also manifest in willingness to testify to one's belief in Jesus despite hostility from outsiders. Such was the climate of John's time. Disciples do not simply believe for their own benefit. They also have a mission to be a witness to the world just as Jesus had been. Finally, what if I were to witness as one who knew she was beloved, that my faith reached this level? In his book, Life of the Beloved, Henry Nouwen writes, "Being the beloved is the origin and the fulfillment of the life of the Spirit." I say this because as soon as we catch a glimpse of this truth, we are put on a journey in search of the fullness of that truth, and we will not rest until we can rest in that truth. From the moment we claim the truth of being the beloved, we are faced with the call to become who we are. Becoming the beloved is the great spiritual journey we have to make. Augustine's words, "My soul is restless until it rests in you, O God," capture all this journey. I know that the fact that I am always searching for God, always struggling to discover the fullness of love, always yearning for the complete truth, tells me that I have already been given a taste of God, of love, and of truth. I can only look for something that I have to some degree already found. How can I search for beauty and truth unless that beauty and truth are already known to me in the depth of my heart? It seems that all of us human beings have deep inner memories of the paradise we have lost. Maybe the word innocence is better than the word paradise. We were all innocent before we started feeling guilty. We were in the light before we entered into the darkness. We were at home before we started searching for a home. Deep in the recess of our minds and hearts, there lies hidden the treasure we seek. We know its preciousness. We know that it holds the gifts we most desire, a life stronger than death. If it is true, we are not only the beloved, but also have to become the beloved. If it is true that we not only are children of God, but also have to become children of God. If it is true that we not only are brothers and sisters, but also have to become brothers and sisters. If all that is true, how can we get a grip on this process of becoming? Becoming the beloved means letting the truth of our belovedness become enfleshed in everything we think, say, or do. Becoming the beloved is pulling the truth revealed in us from above down into the ordinariness of what I am, in fact, thinking of, talking about, and doing from hour to hour. To do this, my beloved brothers and sisters, we go back to the beginning, to that seed of faith wrestling in the ground of our very being, searching for light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.